opportunities. Additionally, that grant will fund hour-long educational programs highlighting scholars studying STEM topics that will be aired on the university's FM radio station, WHOV. Hampton University seeks to ensure that African Americans have access to
This is David Poe, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Saturday, August 13th. Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m. It's time to play the game, Which Crime Is It? As former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home was searched by the FBI this week. At 10:30 a.m., Joshua Freed is live from Brooklyn, remixing New York City radio frequencies in a half-hour dance party on Hudson Valley Radio. At 11 a.m., it's time for the Making Wave show from New Adventures in Sound Art in Canada. At 3 p.m., we tune in the Radio Art Hour, and three artists are featured this week: Rachel Rosenthal, Sheila Davy Sumner, and the British artist Scanner. 7 p.m., we tune in All Things Cage from Laura Kuhn, the executive director of the John Cage Trust. And Sadie Wood's Gridlock Sound Lab is on at 8 p.m. at 90.7 FM, WGXC.
World-renowned composer, improviser, bassist Luke Stewart comes to Ulster County Sunday, August 21st to perform at Opus 40 in Saugerties from 5 to 7 p.m. Luke Stewart is known for his work as leader of the Exposure Quintet. He's also played with Irreversible Entanglements and others, and is generally regarded as one of the best jazz bass players going today. Turn out Sunday, August 21st to Opus 40 in Saugerties from 5 to 7 p.m. to see Luke Stewart perform. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, where you can list your own events by clicking on the Add an Event button.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's how you can's. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Accra, Hudson, Catskill.
We've got on the phone. I said it perfectly a moment ago, and I'm going to mess. All right, from the you're the president of the board of the Restorative Center in Newburgh, and you're going to talk about a week of restorative justice in Hudson, August 15th through 21st. Is that correct?
Yes. So good morning, Tom. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak about restorative justice. And I'm the founder of the Restorative Center. We're in Hudson Valley, and actually nationally now, because people have been reaching out over the last several years, just try to explore restorative justice and its potential in the workplace, in schools, in communities. And so it's been a really wonderful opportunity when people are looking for different ways of gathering and resolving and looking at things that divide us, to have a system of human engagement to offer. So that's what restorative justice really is to me. It's a potential for us to reimagine and revision together a pathway built on connectedness. So that's the philosophy of the Restorative Center, and we're so excited to partner with Hudson, New York. We've been working in Hudson for several years. We came to Hudson, New York to work with the Hudson Youth Center in 2021, actually. There was a little window. We had an opening there. We all had masks, but we did a training for the young leaders of Hudson, and that was amazing. And actually, 4 years before then, we worked with another organization in Hudson working with youth. So the idea of doing a week of restorative justice in Hudson is to really land the idea of reclaiming justice and the conversations around what justice is, to talk about issues that arise in communities in a facilitated manner. So we're training community leaders and anybody interested in learning this, actually, and youth leaders Monday through Friday from 10 to 2, no cost. It's supported by the city and nonprofits within Hudson, New York. And we are a nonprofit ourselves, so we all work together to make this happen. And then we're having community circles, which I would really like to encourage people to attend, on Friday from 6 to 8 at the Hudson Youth Center, Saturday, August 20th at Kite's Nest Garden, and then again on Sunday. And our website is therestorativecenter.org, where you can register to participate in circles. So that's an overview of what's happening next week.
So I think you summarized all my questions in one a little bit. So maybe we can expand on all that now.
Absolutely.
Tell us what people will encounter.
Okay. Well, if you come to the training, and we have some city leaders that are coming to the training, and youth activists, you will be introduced to a system of facilitating a conversation where, instead of the expected sort of public space conversations, where we enter a space and we start debating the pros and cons of our positions and get further and further far afield from each other, that you learn a system of entering these conversations of disconnect by first finding the connectedness amongst us all. So it sounds so abstract when I say it, but when we have run hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of circles now, and what we have seen consistently is that human beings are yearning for this space where we can sit together and remember who we truly are individually and collectively, and then from there we can sort of gather our resources. All of us have a piece of the puzzle to put down to figure out a path forward where we can build together. And I think, you know, this is the antidote to the divide and conquer world, which is thriving right now. And I understand that herbal remedies are not often the go-to when you're in the middle of an emergency, but this is sort of building in wartime. Like we're offering a path forward for when people are ready to gather and build together again. And I think a lot of us are ready. We're ready to sit down and have conversations, difficult conversations even. But when we start when we do these community circles that weekend, it's going to be an introduction to this ongoing process that we would recommend for a community. That one circle is obviously not going to address all the issues that may arise around gentrification or around race relations or about, you know, whatever the issues that are arising in communities, which are actually quite predictable now that, you know, in workplaces and schools everywhere. But we can at least begin the conversation in a way that is based on fundamental awareness of our own humanity, and that I would assert is the way that I know that I can advocate as a way forward, and that I have witnessed as the true power and potential of restorative justice.
And you know, the society as a whole is just, you know, you're working on a smaller scale in Hudson with, I don't know, do you get people that are just completely diverse in their political views or in their views
absolutely.
On?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And actually, even when we've run circles for so-called affinity groups, like within an organizational workplace, right, even the so-called affinity groups, as we all know, has divergent views on how to move forward or what the real problems are. So we have not had space for the differences in a way that has been meaningful and useful for each other. So we have run circles for in situations and circumstances and within organizations that have had serious conflict. Let's just call them intergenerational conflict, right? The younger managers were senior managers. There are so many layers of our armors that we have put up against each other, right? Whatever way you want to call it, that sort of removing the armors and getting to the root of the issue, that is actually bringing us in a space together and then sort of building up from there. I'm repeating myself now, so I'm sorry, but yes. The answer is yes, and we've heard these processes, when you learn how to facilitate them in a particular formation, even sitting in this, so we use the circle formation, right? So even sitting in a circle, there is a gift of just being non-reactive when somebody speaks, right? So if you're sitting in a circle and everybody's speaking in turn, you might hear something 5 people away and you have to wait, 10 minutes before you speak. There is some potential there, and we've seen this especially with young people and teens, that what we're really developing is the higher brain functioning instead of being a reactive brain. We can be more responsive. And the other thing that I would assert is accessing that more responsive self is a way to have more a wiser conversation around issues, right? Instead of just the, you said this, you know, and I'm going to yell at you, and then I'm going to yell at you, that's not really getting us anywhere. So sort of seeking the space for the wisdom of each one of us to be revealed. Because honestly, the young people have a lot to tell us about what it's like to be alive on this planet right now. And we have a lot we want to share about what it's been like for us and whatever wisdom we have from the journey. And those intergenerational conversations need to occur because we're losing tremendous generational wisdom because we've sold all our stories to the media to buy, you know, be sold back to us so we could buy merchandise. So there's a lot of reclaiming the human narrative that is an aspect of this process that I really love. And it's nothing more delicious than watching people share stories about their relationship to this planet, which is one of the components of our work that we use to build a foundation before we get to the areas of charge or disconnect, whatever you want to call it.
Can you explain why justice is in the title of your organization
and how this
open discussion focuses on justice?
Right. So I am I'm an attorney. I was a prosecutor in New Orleans and a public defender in New York City for many, many years, and also an administrative law judge in the city. So I came to restorative. I came to this work looking for a saner response to conflict, right? So because I came to the conclusion that what we have in the criminal legal system is not, from a civilization point of view, a rational way to approach conflict and crime, and just putting people away and continuing the process again and again. So looking for the answer for, well, what would justice look like if we were creating a system that actually helped us evolve together from conflict instead of devolve as a result of conflict, I started looking for models, and I took a year and I studied many different models, and I came to the conclusion that none of them were really on point for this moment in time. But we created our own model that pulls threads from many different modalities, including like the Ayurvedic tradition, because I studied yoga and meditation, and I studied with a medicine woman. We pulled the medicine wheel ideas and figured that out, and we had people from volunteering from many different sort of backgrounds that came together to sort of understand storytelling, my love for storytelling and what it means, what kind of stories we're sharing. Okay, all of that to say is that to create a system that is community-based outside of the criminal legal system, but yet we can seek personal community justice amongst ourselves without engaging the power of the police state every time there is a conflict. It is, instead of just reacting to an event and calling the police, we can be responsive and think about what is causing these events, which are the lack of community. Obviously, how many times have people said that? We just don't have a community anymore. Well, how can we, in this modern age, where communities have to, from my point of view, can be redefined as a people that gather together, to build together, how can we create spaces for that formation? Because unless we have a way forward where we're listening and sitting, we are not going to get out of the paradigm that we seem to be stuck in. When there's a conflict, you call the police, somebody gets arrested, and then you feed the criminal justice matrix once more. So I am holding firm that this is a reimagining and reclaiming of justice. And within this paradigm, you can have community building circles, or you can have sentencing circles, because community voices in sentencing can be an integral part of what we can, as a community, can offer a voice to the criminal justice system. So when you engage with the criminal justice system, I believe you have to be conscious and careful, because it is such a powerful vortex of energy that it will suck you in. So even with restorative justice and how it intersects with criminal legal systems, I think is a process that needs deliberation and discernment. So I've just said a lot. I'm not sure if I lost what you were asking.
No, I got several things out of there. Me personally, I'm sure listeners got all kinds of things out of there too. But one of the things I got out of it was there are models like this outside of the political world. I mean, just like there's knitting groups that bring people together that are different, and you know, they're not trying to work out problems, but it does address sort of what you're saying.
Exactly.
Do you take models outside of sort of politics and justice issues?
Can you ask that question? I'm not sure what you're asking me. What do you mean, models outside?
I don't know exactly what I mean. I guess I was playing off of what I heard you say, maybe I'll go from a whole different.
Well, what you're getting at is, what I'm trying to say is, this is not just let me just say it this way: the national conversation around the history of this country, around race and the enslavement and people, is a very, for me, from my point of view, an important conversation to hold space for. Because, like, how can we continue as a civilization without addressing our shadow? Just as human beings, we all have to address our shadows. We have to look at the things that we want to reject about ourselves or that we're ashamed about ourselves. And those shadows integrated into the whole self can lead to a healthier human being instead of living in shame. So this specific model that we use at this formation of a circle process, maybe that's what you meant by model. I ran a circle with Miss Jackson, Mississippi last year, and this year in New Orleans for Juneteenth, where in conjunction with the Legacy Project, families of people who were lynched in the South gathered together in a circle space, in a public circle, meaning it was being recorded and broadcast and witnessed, to use this formation of a circle process to share stories and honor the past and create a vision to move forward together. So if that, and one of the participants, and it was like really the biggest honor, honestly, of my professional life, said that she had not wanted to work with the FBI around this investigation of her family member being lynched because she started losing faith in their ability to actually go deeper into the investigation. But after sitting in this process and having space held for her to say what she wanted to say, and share the story of what had happened and think about what she wants to do moving forward, she said, this is what justice feels like. And there's a Cornel West quote is, justice is what love is, what justice looks like in public. So like there is, we've lost our way about what justice is. Like, justice isn't guilty, not guilty. Justice is a broader concept of, for me, it's sort of like, if you're thinking about the balance of, you know, the balance, the normal vision of the justice, it's like, yes, it is about coming to balance, but coming to balance also means looking at what's out of balance and looking at it and holding space for it and unraveling it and working with it. So the concept, I want to even reclaim the word justice and not just give it to the criminal legal system, yes, the answer is yes, it is outside, but it is also within, because we work with lawyers who are working in the criminal justice system, and we teach them how to do this methodology. We work with them with conflicts that are rising. We work with people to come together to address how to resolve a particular conflict that has arisen, so that the conflict can actually help us all grow instead of further divide us. And it sounds abstract, but I've seen it land in a very specific way in many different ways, in many different circumstances.
Yeah, it sounds abstract, and it also sounds it's sort of difficult enough for society right now to even discuss issues about funding the police or bail reform or things like that. How do you get people to talk? You know, how do you solve? You're trying to get people like to think and not react. Like you're on the internet and you see some comment and you just push a button and you yell back at somebody. You know that. I'm not saying you, but you know, that's what how people react on the internet. That seems like an even greater. If we can't discuss specific issues like, you know, police and bail reform and things like that, how can we solve the greater problem of people, you know, hearing something and then going in their head and thinking, well, that means that, blah, 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 you know, how
exactly,
you know,
exactly,
isn't that much more difficult?
Well, that's exactly what we're doing. We have to. I mean, the way I know forward, the way I'm advocating for, I know one little thing. I don't know everything. I know this, that we can hold spaces that are structured, and they're highly structured, because I really teach structure of circles, right? It's not just putting the chairs in a circle and let's go to town. No. There has to be it has to be as rigorous as trying a case, if that makes any sense. Like, I'm a trial attorney. So there is a rigor to it. There is a structure to how we sit together. It's sort of like, I try to, you know, talk about the medicine wheel in my understanding of it, which is, and this is an iconic idea from almost all ancient cultures, which is we have four directions, and to complete a journey, touch upon all four. So you don't just sit in a circle and just go to one issue, like, what's dividing us? Let's talk about bail reform today. No, we have a series of circles. If we want to have a community conversation about bail reform, that would set as four circles in a series, maybe every Thursday for 1 month. And we are going to get to the issue of bail reform, but we're going to get to it from a deeper place. Like, what do we believe justice, what do we believe is appropriate in this community for who should be held in jail waiting for trial? like, let's talk about it. Can people talk about what it's like when bail was set for $500 and somebody couldn't get out of jail to actually try the case and how it pushes pleas? Can somebody else talk about what it's like, how scary it is when people get out of jail and they recommit crimes? Like, let's hold space for this conversation. Let's be human together for a minute and think about all the different valid, you know, concerns that people have. Like, we don't want people languishing in jail. We also don't want people going around, you know, committing, you know, whatever crimes there are. We want to live in a community that feels like safe and our kids are, you know, walking from school without worry. All of these things need to be held space for, because unless we hold space for it, we're just getting more and more enraged in our own little cages that we've created of separation. So let's hold space for it. And then gingerly, carefully, we get to the conversation around, well, what do we want to say about bail reform? What works about it? What doesn't work about it? Like, a rational, wise, thoughtful conversation that can get heated, but the heat is, we hold space for the heat because we have now understood that all of us are here because we care deeply about how to live in this world with greater ease. That's what we're looking for, right? And we can maybe build from there. Like, what does it look like for you in your place on this planet about this idea of bail reform? And if my grandson had to spend 5 days in jail because of a graffiti thing, then I have some things to share, and maybe you will hear them. So there is this, we have been giving all of our problems to the criminal legal system and saying, you solve them. And that system is not designed for that. It is not. It is designed to protect individuals from the tyranny of the state. That was what I love the Constitution. It was designed to protect us from the tyranny of the state. And we have turned that beautiful concept on its head. And I want the criminal legal system to reclaim what its mission is. And I want us as community members to reclaim our humanity. Because I think both need to happen.
So feel free to correct me on the premise of this question if I'm wrong, but it seems like...
You know I won't hesitate.
Yes. It seems like it's... and this, I'm directing this directly to Hudson next week and how to get people involved in this. It seems like maybe the people that need this the most are probably the most reluctant to sign up.
We all need it. I'm sorry. I'm not giving anybody a free pass. We all need it. We all need to sit in a space and understand the experience of holding space for each other as a community. We all need it. We all need it. I don't think, because, you know, we're all self-righteous in our beliefs, all of us, 100%. So I don't think there's anybody, I really have never met anybody that, oh, you know, like, you know, maybe one day I'll meet some saint and he doesn't need to sit in a circle. But I would even say that she probably would need to sit in a circle because we need to hear her wisdom in that formation. So it's for all of us.
So that sticks with my question then. How do you get people there if everybody says, I don't need that, I'm good?
Because they're going to come for, maybe they're curious. Maybe they're curious, like, what is this? And maybe they're like, it's so interesting because, you know, when we started first doing a pilot program in Newburgh, the first circle, I remember I set it up in the basement of a historical church where, you know, it was just like a very, like, I set it up, 21 chairs. It's a community circle. No one's forced to be there. And I'm like, okay, I just quit my job to do this crazy restorative justice vision. What if nobody shows up? Like, wait, I was like, I was totally ready for the, you know, the party that you threw that nobody came to. But I've come to see that that mindset is not really, that's anti-restorative justice to have that mindset. I just do the work. I just do the work. We just set up the circles and people do show up. Because there is, I believe, a yearning to find a new way forward, that a yearning to sit in spaces with people that are different than us. Like, I do think that there is a yearning. Not everybody is going to be ready for a circle at a particular moment in time, but we just start where we are. Like, whoever shows up, and we build from there. I mean, I don't know any other way forward, right? Like, the first time the yoga teachers came from India, like, they were teaching, like, Iyengar for six years only had 5 students. They would just show up every week to learn yoga. Like, and now there are yoga studios everywhere you go on this planet. There is a yoga studio.